Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, while all eyes and hearts have been appropriately drawn in shock to that murderous attack in the Texas church on a Sunday, and I ask that we not forget what has happened there, and not forget to pray for those family members that were involved, because that will linger for a long time. But I do say right now, I am thankful for those who are giving testimony to the power of Jesus Christ who sustained them. And who knows how the Lord gets the word out, but he's doing it even in that case. But while that's been going on, other things have been unfolding across the world that are major, but have received a whole lot less attention. And we want to talk about those things today. On the program, we could talk about the election results of yesterday. That's a lot of the headline news and other things, but I've chosen to postpone them. And instead, we're going to head to the Middle East, where three major players on the world stage are, if you'd consider as a chess game, are moving their pieces around, all hoping at some point to declare checkmate. Israel's number one. Saudi Arabia's number two. Iran is number three. But there is a major player, the one who's going to ultimately win the game. We're going to discuss that as well in segment four of the program today. And to help us walk through this and to get a good overview of the game that's in process is Bill Koenig. He is White House correspondent, founder of World Watch Daily, which you can find online. I encourage you to do so, watch.org. Just put in watch.org and you can bring up all of the events of the day that are laid out there. But we're going to highlight today, so you know where we're going. We're going to highlight Israel and what it's doing in this first segment. Saudi Arabia is going to be in the second segment, and what's happening there with sweeping and unexpected consolidation of power that's underway. And then we're going to talk about Iran in segment three, in their effort really to declare checkmate across the Middle East. And then we're going to talk about the biblical perspective in the end relative to who really wins, and we know who's going to win. All of that today on Stand in the Gap Today. And with that, I'd like to welcome you all to the program. I'm Sam Rohr, and joined by David Kistler and Gary Dahl today, and of course, our Middle East expert and White House correspondent, Bill Koenig. So let me just jump right into the program today. Bill, first of all, thank you for being with us today on Stand in the Gap Today.
Thank you, Sam. Great to be with you as usual.
Well, I tell you, you're always a blessing to have on because you know what's going on and you have a biblical perspective that assures that what's said is accurate. I want to start out with you here in this segment on Israel because you just came back from spending a number of days there. You were involved in key meetings. You were able to talk to key people. And as we consider how these fluid pieces are moving in the Middle East, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Iran in particular, I want to start with where you were there in Israel. We know they're surrounded by Iran. They're trying to put their players on the ground surrounding them. We know there's a peace treaty that's in some discussion that the United States is pushing. All of these things are floating around. Israel, by all intents and purposes, is being cornered. They are patient, we know, but when they act decisively. My question to you is, when you were there, how did you find the tone and the attitude to be of those there in Israel, if you talk to government officials, them, or people on the ground? And what are they fearing right now or viewing as their greatest threat right now as we see things happening in the Middle East?
Well, Benjamin Netanyahu has probably been the greatest spokesman about the risks of a nuclear Iran for many, many years. He even spoke to Congress before the Iran nuke deal was signed in the summer of 2015. He fully understands, and most people in Israel, probably 75-80% of the people, would prefer him to be the prime minister at a time such as this because of the threats of Iran inside of Syria and with their influence with Hezbollah, and also they're developing this land bridge from Iran through Iraq, through Syria, through Lebanon to the Mediterranean. And he's very aware of Iran's plan. Iran speaks of the day that Israel would not be in existence. We know that will never happen. But at the same time, Benjamin Netanyahu has to be concerned about the safety and security of his state, which is the size of the state of New Jersey. And fortunately, he has an administration here in Washington, the Trump administration, that fully understands the risks, the number one risk to the Middle East, possibly the world, is dealing with Iran. Mike Pence, Pompeo there at CIA, some of his generals, Mattis, McMaster, and others, and plus Mr. Trump can see right through this, that the number one threat is Iran, and it must be dealt with. And that was Israel's number one concern, is dealing with Iran, and plus the fact that Hezbollah has anywhere between 130 to 150 rockets now pointed at Israel. That's the number one concern they have.
You mean 150,000 rockets, 150 rockets.
150,000, that's right.
That makes a big difference. Dave?
Hey, Bill, let me ask you this. Israel's absolutely amazing, as you well know, in the way they assess a problem. And you said Iran is the number one issue that they face. So let's use Sam's chessboard analogy again, which I love. What kind of moves can we expect to see from Israel with respect to this Iranian threat?
Well, around October 2012, Obama was doing everything that year in 2012 to stop Israel from doing what they had to do with Iran. And I was able to uncover some things that Israel was going to do with Iran in the event of a conflict. And I mean, in October 2012, Israel was ready to put their jets in the sky and go after Iran. They had a plan in place, EMP, hydrogen bombs, nuclear subs in the Persian Gulf. Israel is small, but they're mighty. And most important, they have the God of Israel behind them. So they have different plans, different strategies. Number one, obviously, is border security with Hezbollah, with all those rockets pointed at the country. The fact also that Iran is going to be deploying or attempt to deploy missiles in Syria that can hit any area. Missiles, not just rockets that have limited range, but missiles. So Israel's got a lot of different plans, but they have thought it all out because this has to do with their survival. Plus, their intelligence is as good as anybody's in the world, because it has to be. So with all that said, Israel's monitoring this and watching it closely, and they have plans in place that could be devastating to Iran if they had to do that.
15 seconds left we have here, Bill, but Israel went after a facility in Syria just last week, I guess, right, to prove
Correct.
Your point?
Yeah, they have numerous times. Matter of fact, I'd say over 10 or 12 times, and another example last week.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our theme are the latest moves in the Middle East, in the Middle East chess game. We're going to talk about Israel. We just touched on them. They're involved in everything. But we're going to go to Saudi Arabia next, and we're going to talk with Bill Koenig of World Watch Daily about what's at play with Prince Salman as he's consolidating power, making some major, major moves in Saudi Arabia. What's up? What Saudi Arabia is attempting to do? And then we're going to eventually go to Iran, what they're doing specifically. Stay with us. A lot to cover. We'll be right back.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence
influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
One of the most significant chess moves in the Middle East was just made by Saudi Arabia. And frankly, is in reality, it's continuing to make, because it's not done yet. Even as we are talking on this program now, things are still unfolding. But what is not known is why certain things are happening and what is the end goal. A major consolidation of power by young Prince Mohammed bin Salman. If you recall, he was moved into the throne, ascension to the throne, by his father earlier in this year. This young individual, early 30s, by what he's done has shaken world economic markets, and in the midst of it, the nation appears to be ready to go to war with Iran. At least, that's what a lot of headline news is indicating. So, in this segment, we're going to pursue the theme of Saudi Arabia, moving but uncertain strategy. And to help us understand these impacts and motives, as we are in this program today, considering these moves in the Middle East, we're going to invite back in Bill Koenig, White House correspondent, Middle East expert, and founder of World Watch Daily, which you can find online at watch.org. Bill, let me pick back up now and shift to Saudi Arabia, because as I've just said, and some days ago, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, under the guise, and I'm saying under the guise because this is what he's stating, under the guise of eradicating corruption in the Saudi kingdom, he's arrested, he's jailed, many, I think over 50 so far, frozen over $800 billion in private assets, saying that they were gotten wrongly, and he's taken them back. He's even moved against billionaire businessmen with international connections and members of the royal family. And when I saw that first blush, Bill, I thought, well, that sounds interesting, moving against corruption. But yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article that alluded to the fact that this may not be all that good. In fact, it may be the fact that he's stealing private assets to replenish national coffers that have been reduced over the past few years because of low oil prices. So I want to know from you, in your studied opinion, what's really happening there in Saudi Arabia, and how do you see this emergence of an aggressive, energized young prince affecting relationships with Israel and perhaps the balance of power in the Middle East?
It's absolutely breathtaking when you sit back and watch what happened, Sam, just last weekend. Number one is to attempt to freeze the assets. First of all, to arrest these Saudi billionaires, you know, one that owns Middle East TV, which is also Al Arabiya. I know they're White House correspondents. They're wonderful people. Also, this other prince that was a major investor in Citicorp and Fox and other major businesses. A lot of these assets are offshore, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think up to 50, 60, maybe 70%, maybe higher than that is offshore. But nonetheless, to attempt to seize these assets that he was saying was obtained through corruption is enormous. Another thing is he's playing to the audience. About 70% of Saudi Arabia are 30 years of age and younger. A lot of these people can't find good work, good jobs, et cetera, et cetera. So this is enormous. And number two is the acknowledgement of the fact that the number one threat in the Middle East is Iran. The fact that Prime Minister Hariri from Lebanon went and resigned his position while in Saudi Arabia talks about the fact that Saudi Arabia is very serious about the Hezbollah threat inside of Lebanon, where they used to have a tremendous amount of influence. These rockets that just recently came in across their border from Yemen. You know, I think the powers to be in the Middle East especially the Sunni powers, the Saudis, others know that they have to do something with Iran now, because if they wait till later, it's only going to get more difficult. Also, President Trump's son-in-law, Kushner, has been very much involved in this loop as well, with Israel, with the Saudis, with the United Arab Emirates, with the arranging for President Trump to be able to speak to the leaders of 55 Muslim countries in Riyadh earlier this year, and called on them to put down the terrorism. And if you do, you got to have a great friend to deal with your number one threat, which is Iran. So much is going on, so much is playing, and this is going to be very fluid from this point forward, Sam. But at this point, it's breathtaking.
You know, Bill, you were talking about the relationship there between Saudi Arabia and Iran and what's taking place there. And my question to you, in light of what you just said, is what do you think the Saudis will do in taking a next step in this whole conjuncture that's coming together? And when do you think that they're going to do it? I mean, is it not true that it is their desire to maintain the, at least the appearance of being the leader in the Islamic world? So what do you think they will do in relationship to Saudi Arabia, and when? How soon can we see some movement there?
Well, the number one concern in Saudi Arabia is a nuclear Iran. They believe that Israel is first to be hit by nuclear missiles, and that they would be the second one to be hit. So they have been petrified of the possibility of a nuclear threat. The Iran nuke deal was so, they were so infuriated by that Iran nuke deal, as well as the other Sunni Arab countries, that it forced them to start having an open dialogue and relationship with the state of Israel. A friend of mine in the Israeli press office last year said, who would have ever thought that our Middle East allies would become Saudi Arabia, Egypt, United Arab Emirates, Jordan, out of the concern that the Obama White House was no longer on their side, and that the fact that giving Iran $150 billion is only going to make it worse for those Sunni Arab countries. So what happened is, before the election, you had a coalition being developed of Israel and those Sunni countries. And then after the election of Trump, very pragmatic and with the right people in place, also understands that the number one threat in the Middle East is Iran. So I think the Saudis, with Prince Salman's close relationship with Kushner, they understand now they can have some bravado, and also feel like the United States will have their back if necessary to go into conflict with Iran. Because something's going to have to be done at some point in time. And the longer you wait for doing something with Iran, the worse it's going to get down the road. Iranians are very strategic. They're very smart. They're three-dimensional chess players, and they're very formidable.
Bill, let me ask you this. You've already alluded to the president's historic first-ever meeting with those 55 Arab Islamic leaders, and I think you may have been on with us, actually, when we talked about this months back, and that is that the president was attempting to build a southern coalition with Saudi Arabia, Egypt, who, along with the United States and Israel, would be able to deal with the common enemy of all these nations, and that is Iran. So it sounds like to me what you're saying is what we're watching now is just a continuation of that effort. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. That was, in a lot of ways, it's a really smart plan of developing a coalition of the U.S., Israel, and the Sunni Arab countries to cooperate and stand together against the number one threat, which is Iran. The fact that Kushner was able to arrange for President Trump on Saudi turf to speak to the 55 Muslim leaders and to tell them that you have a friend in Washington and you must lay down the weapons, you must stop the terrorism, and if you are serious about that, then we'll stand with you. And they got real serious about it, to the point of isolating Qatar over the last few months because of Qatar's role with terrorism and also close relationship with Hamas. But the fact that Trump had that opportunity and to speak as boldly as he did, and the fact that he's put the people in place at the CIA, at the Pentagon, the National Security Office, as well as a vice president that fully understands the threat of Iran, it speaks volumes, and also gives these leaders a significant comfort. And the fact that Kushner gets along with these young Arab leaders well is quite a sight to follow.
Well, Bill, it is. I want to pursue that just a little bit right here because, and you cited that, Kushner's younger. Prince bin Salman is younger. He was American educated. He appears, he says he wants to have an economic plan to really make some major changes there. He's given an appearance of genuine cultural change in his country. Do you think it's real, or do you think he's playing down the connection to the Islamic connection and going along with it? Any way to know what's happening, if it's true or not?
Just on the surface, from what I've been able to discover in his interviews, Sam, he wants to get away from this radical Wahhabism that has been such a significant part of Saudi Arabia for many, many years. It has a distinctive role in the state of Saudi Arabia, and he is talking about moderate Islam. He's talking about his 2030 vision of creating a situation where Saudi Arabia is one of the great world economic powers. He knows the fact that he has 70% of his population is under 30, and he's 32. So I think on the surface, along with his relationship with Kushner, along with just the overall, concern of the fact that Iran and Turkey are becoming major players, something must be done to stop those two. This might be part of it.
Interesting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about chess moves in the Middle East, the major players, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and you're hearing just a little bit of these pieces. You can imagine it. The pieces are moving around on the board. Things are shifting significant alliances that never existed are being formed and so forth. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about Iran and how they are moving and threatening the entire region and how perhaps they're being a catalyst for a lot of things that are happening, as you heard Bill talk about. So more to come on Staying in the Gap today. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
If you're just now joining us, ladies and gentlemen, we're glad that you are, as we're right in the middle of today's program here on Stand in the Gap Today. And we know that East Coast, anyways, a lot of folks are joining us partway through lunch. We are glad that you are. And others, as you listen in delayed fashion, we're glad that you listen as well. And if you ever miss a part of the program, which we know what it's like, schedules are that way, you can always go to our website at standinthegapradio.com or on your iPhone or Android, which most of you probably have. Just go to your app store and download the free app by putting in the phrase Stand in the Gap. Okay, that's easy to do. Put that in there. You can download the app, and then you can listen to all of our archived programs at your choice, at your convenience, wherever you are. And I know that personally, that's how I listen to a lot of programs because I'm busy during the day. You can do that as well with Stand in the Gap Today. So go there, do that, communicate to us, give us questions, give us comments. And if you are so led, and we would encourage you to be so led, donate. Help us to keep this kind of news on the airwaves across the country. We think it's important, and we're glad to know that many of you think so as well because we've heard from you. So do communicate with us. It means a great deal. All right. Well, in this segment, we're going to move now to Iran. In recent programs, we've talked about, ladies and gentlemen, if you recall, we've talked about Iran and North Korea and their collusion together. They are indeed rogue nations. We've discussed many times the increasing alliance of Russia and Iran and Syria, and this northern coalition that's really consolidating right before our eyes. And we've talked about Iran on some programs, but frankly, they're glad to work with anybody, whether they're Shia or Sunni, as long as they want to get rid of Israel and hate them. So the result of that is they're moving their footprint in an increasing fashion across the Middle East. And they are bent, perhaps, on the destruction of Israel more than anyone, it seems. And as far as I'm concerned, I think it's perhaps their major motivating factors in as they move their chess pieces around. But in this piece, we're going to now talk about moving and threatening strategy of Iran. How close are they to winning the game? So I'm going to welcome back in right now Bill Koenig. Again, he is founder of World Watch Daily. And he's a White House correspondent, and you can find his website very easily just by going to watch.org. Very easy to remember. All right, Bill, let's go back here and let's talk about Iran now. We're staying in the Middle East. You've been all these places. You're watching as well as we are, and you already said it. Iran is a three-dimensional chess player. I thought that was a good way of saying it. They are smart. They have they negotiated Barack Obama, as you said, to get frozen assets, money that really belonged to the Shah of Iran, who was a friend of the U.S. They've aligned with Russia and Putin. They're doing a lot, it seems, just to move themselves along. Not a wonder that Saudi Arabia is concerned, and so is Israel. But could you explain, perhaps, as they move their pieces around, the significance of their moving in and effectively, well, you can say whether or not they are controlling Lebanon or not, but they have a strong influence there. They did some things up in Kurdistan, where was the hope of some freedom up there. They've moved in there. Talk to us a little about really what Iran is doing on the ground to move their footprint ahead.
They are everywhere, Sam. I mean, they really are. They have tremendous influence because the Shia Islam is a majority in Iraq. The United States has spent a tremendous amount of resources in lives to overthrow Saddam Hussein, basically destroy depleted the military and destroyed it to the extent that Iran was just able to kind of move in. ISIS developed, and then the irony of all ironies is the United States and NATO are on the side of Iran trying to knock out ISIS within the country. So they're in Iraq, they're in Syria, they've been there over 30 years. The military is calling a lot of shots in Syria. And if it wasn't for Iran and Russia, Assad would be no longer the director or head or president of Syria. Also, their influence with Hezbollah has allowed them to work their way into leadership positions in Lebanon. Nothing major happens in Lebanon without Hezbollah approving it or being part of it. And then also Yemen, another very logistical concern of Saudi Arabia. They have, and then just recently on October 13, when President Trump had his big message on Iran, that was on a Friday, and the next day, Soleimani, the head of the Al-Quds force, is in Kurdistan, or let's say the Kurdish area of northern Iraq, which the Kurds are hoping will eventually become Kurdistan, and maneuvering and gaining control of Kirkuk, and basically working out the differences between the two sides with the Kurds and kind of moving into control. It was just so quick. And that's the thing, Sam. They are so well connected throughout the Middle East. They understand the territories. They have, as I shared just a few minutes ago, they are so well positioned and so smart that they are formidable. And even beyond that is they are just better positioned than the United States, the Saudis, and the Sunni countries at this point.
Bill, let me ask you this. Right now, I am looking at the Fox News website, and here is the lead article. It says Tower of Babel, B-A-B-B-L-E, and it's referring to the ongoing verbal war between President Trump, who has called Kim Jong-un Rocket Man, and then now Kim Jong-un is calling Trump the old lunatic. It seems like the media is focusing on North Korea more than they are on the threat Iran poses both to Israel and to the United States. Is there anything else you can share with us that will really help our listening audience understand just how significant the Iranian threat is with respect to Israel and with respect to the United States?
That's an excellent point, because the North Korea, who also has a very close relationship with Iran, they are cooperating. Iran has the missile capability, And North Korea has the nuclear capability. And there's been a distinctive cooperation between the two. And Iran loves these kind of distractions because it allows them to move quickly, efficiently, and effectively, and not under the spotlight. And that's a very good point. Iran is moving quickly into moving from a military, transitioning into an economic power in Syria, helping them develop new infrastructure. They are developing missile capability to deploy inside of Syria that puts Israel at risk. The other thing that's so important is they have short-range missile capability that can knock out any one of those oil-producing Sunni countries along the Persian Gulf. And today, 26% of our daily oil comes through the Persian Gulf in the Strait of Hormuz, and they have that wired. So even though we have our fifth fleet in Bahrain is a Shiite country. And to this point, we've been able to keep the U.S. with our positioning there, have been able to keep the Shiites under control in Bahrain. But this is the way they look at the chessboard. Persian Gulf, relationships throughout the Middle East, our proxies such as Hezbollah, and now recently the leadership of Hamas has been in Iran having meetings about being that force on the ground inside of Israel. At that point, they attack Israel. So all the pieces, Gary, are being put in place right now for the purpose of these ultimate plans of destruction of the state of Israel and gaining control of the Middle East, and also doing everything they can to develop to do harm to these Sunni Arab countries that are so important to the world's economies.
I'm glad for the fact that from the biblical perspective, we know the rest of the story. You know, it's interesting to see.
That's interesting to see
how everything's coming together. But I'd just be interested in a brief comment on you about what some of those leaders in the Middle East think about President Trump's boldness and straightforward speech. But my real question is this. Let's take a look at Turkey. We've not really brought that up yet today. Turkey is a major player in the Middle East, has been quiet recently in the news. Can you give us an update as to what's going on there, particularly as we see Iran and Turkey and Russia? What's going on between that trilogy of nations?
Well, as the world, especially Israel and the Middle East and the United States to a certain extent and Britain, honor the 100th year celebration of or honoring the Balfour Agreement that eventually led to Israel becoming a state, there was a really good article by one of the think tanks here in Washington that, you know, said back in the early 1900s, the major powers were the British and the French. But today, the major powers in the Middle East are Iran and Turkey, and it's being allowed by Russia. Erdogan considers him one of the leaders, if not the leader, of the Middle East. They have a lot of influence. They're very smart, very savvy. And Iran, even though they don't get along well together, they do a lot of business together. They both are about money, about making money, about economic benefit. But there are, you know, Turkey and Iran and Russia are going to be the three major players of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 conflict eventually that will come against Israel. So it might be quiet because a lot of the focus has been Iran. And it was interesting at the recent UN meetings, Trump did meet with Erdogan. And was complimentary of him. And we also got to remember Turkey's part of NATO. So what they're trying to do is move Turkey away from that access and at the same time wanting to make sure that they don't become another problem for them as well as what Iran has become.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening and listening carefully, you can just imagine a chessboard and what is taking place as these pieces are moving. All the players think that they are in charge. They're all making their own decisions. Next segment, we're going to talk about the prophetical component and the fact that God is ultimately moving these pieces around, and there is a winning strategy of which he's in charge, and he's going to make sure it happens. We're going to talk about that and put the pieces together when we come back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
On the program today, ladies and gentlemen, we've been in the Middle East. We've departed from things here on these shores to go there to that part of the world because it's an important part of the world. And you say, why do you always go to the Middle East? Well, it's because that's where things started in creation, and that's where things are going to pretty much end up. And so the Lord has a great value placed on Israel. And so as you see the world increasingly revolve its attention around that part of the world, not by accident. And even today, as we've talked about these moves of these various countries, all of which are intriguing, and all of which who have their own geopolitical strategy of why they're doing things, I would suggest that there's a sovereign plan of God that's actually being worked out. And so we're going to talk about here now how these pieces fit together. And as we conclude the program, talking with Bill Koenig, White House correspondent and founder of World Watch Daily, we're going to kind of put some of these pieces into place. So, Bill, we've talked about some of these alignments already. You've already made references to the Bible. Gary's made references to prophecy. We know how things end. And we want to end this program with these things in place, because without this knowledge, these kinds of things are either, well, they can be disturbing for many. They can be very unsettling for many. But a lot of things are taking place here that are really exciting. So I want to go here. Before we get into you putting together these pieces, you've mentioned it, but I want you to go a little bit further with it. Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, has been instrumental, as you have said, influencing the Saudi Arabian young king, bin Salman. He's done some other things that are fairly amazing. A lot of it revolves around a peace treaty in an attempt to try and make things happen there. And even Egyptian President Sisi just called a couple days ago for a renewed energy and trying to put together a peace treaty. If you can, talk a little bit more on why does Jared Kushner appear to have such favor in what he's attempting to do here?
You know, it's been an elusive dream of our presidents to be the one that finally is the one responsible for sponsoring a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians, Israel and the Middle Eastern powers. And, you know, President Trump prides himself, as well as Kushner, in being deal makers. They have quite a substantial history in business, and they consider this the deal of all deals. Kushner has put together a really bright plan, really brilliant plan. But when I speak to audiences, I say that the covenant land of Israel, of Judea, Samaria, and East Jerusalem, was given by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. And it's not to be an Arab state. And I document in my book, every time that we attempt to pressure Israel to divide their land, we have enormous record-setting catastrophes in America. We had three hurricanes during the Jewish month of Elul. Just recently, at the time that Kushner was going country to country to country, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Egypt, attempting to develop this coalition of countries that would come together to develop this Israel a Middle Eastern peace deal. The only problem is it was going to require Israel to give up Judea, Samaria, and probably parts of Jerusalem. His plan in the surface is, and in the natural, is great, but it's an opposition to the Bible. The Bible does not see an Arab state in the biblical heartland of Israel. So Brilliant plan, brilliant idea. I think it's a coup, the fact that President Trump had the opportunity to speak to 55 Muslim countries. I think this U.S.-Israel-Sunni coalition that Trump and Kushner are trying to put together makes a lot of sense, especially in having to deal with Iran. But at the same time, only God knows how this is going to play out. But what's happening, Sam, to finalize this, is it's leading to the final day conflicts of Jeremiah 49, 35 through 39 that deals with Elam, which is modern-day Iran, and also the coalition of Ezekiel 38 and 39 of Russia, Turkey, Iran, and other former Soviet Union countries, Sudan, Libya, coming against Israel. It's all aligning because of these efforts.
Bill, let me ask you this, and I know we have just a couple of minutes left. Some people might say, as they listen to your comments, and we do talk a lot about the Middle East on this program, they may say, you know, well, big deal. How does what you're talking about affect me? Now, you've touched on it in your last comments just a little bit, but could you go there again and help our listening audience understand all of what we're discussing here affects us in a big way?
Well, absolutely. For a couple of reasons. Number one, we are a small part of the church that understands the biblical significance of the state of Israel. We're probably 30-35% of the church. The other part of the church, 67%, which is replacement theology members, who go, that's about 100 million Americans, have no understanding of the biblical significance of the state of Israel today and the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return to begin his 1,000-year millennial reign. We are blessed to understand that. Number one, it's important for us. And we pray for those that don't understand that they will come to understand that Bible prophecy is as relevant today as it's ever been, because we're watching it play out right before our eyes. The second thing is from the economic perspective. I mean, literally, Iran could shut down the Persian Gulf with their missile capability and cripple the world economies. 25 to 26% of our daily oil comes through that Persian Gulf. And number three is their threats to the state of Israel, that they will destroy them, that they will take them off the map, that Israel will be no longer. And number four is we do have, the United States does have Sunni Arab members, coalition members in the Middle East that we're very concerned about, and plus the fact we still get over 1 million barrels a day from Saudi Arabia is very significant. So all of these things point to the biblical significance of the times we live in, and I just pray more and more people will fully understand that, Gary.
Bill, just less than 1 minute, because I want to go to Gary for prayer, so literally 1 minute. Iran doesn't just hate Israel. Don't they believe that the destruction of Israel and bringing blood on the streets will bring back their Mahdi? They're motivated to usher in the end of the world, are they not?
That's right. Their eschatology speaks of the 12th Imam, and this is a very significant motivating factor of them becoming a nuclear power so they can become a dominant world power and help usher in the 12th Imam.
So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot here, and that's why these things make sense biblically when you put it together. You have to factor that in, or a lot of these things really make no sense. Gary, let me go to you right now as we close out the program, ask you to pray for these things and for those in authority and those who are listening to take and use these.
Be happy to, Sam. Father, as we come to you, we thank you and praise you that even as we talk about these particular issues on our program, and as a lot of discussion is going on across the nation, around the world, and particularly in the Middle East these days, we thank you that we can open up your book and see the completed chart. We know the rest of the story. We know what you're going to do. And Lord, we look forward to that time when the Lord Jesus Christ will literally come to the earth there in Revelation 19 and establish his kingdom on earth. And then, of course, even beyond that, the best is yet to come. But Father, I do pray for our president, President Trump, as he deals with the leaders over there and even Jared Kushner. I ask, dear Lord, that you'd give them wisdom and strength to do that which is going to strengthen Israel. And then, Lord, that you would give them the kind of respect that they need from other nations' leaders over there to follow their direction. And Lord, as you do work, we'll give you the praise and thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for being with us today, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Bill Koenig of World Watch Daily, for being with us. Always a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you take this information today, review it, consider it, put it into effect, and we hope that you will be back with us tomorrow also as we continue just 23 hours from now. Until then, stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.